Okay, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all again. Week 5. Week 5 of our Shabbos series. Let's do a very quick review of what we covered last week. We had one last point, and then we're going to jump into our next topic for today. Last week was the topic of the Mun. We learned the Parsha of the Mun, which is the Jewish people's first experience of Shabbos, at least what is explicit in the Chumash. We learned Shabbos Bereishis on the seventh day of creation, and then Shabbos is not mentioned again explicitly until the Mun. And we learned particularly about how Hashem told Moshe how it was going to fall for 6 days, and on the seventh, it was not going to fall. It would be a double portion on Shabbos. We learned how all Chazal understood, Rashi quotes, that they didn't actually collect double, but that when they got home, they found on Friday morning they had double. They all come running to Moshe. What's this? What's going on? And Moshe says, oh yeah, that's what Hashem told me on Sunday morning that this was going to happen. And we learned the beautiful Rashbam. Why did Moshe do that? Of which Rashi quoted he was punished. He didn't tell him. But why did Moshe do that? That they should have the experience of Shabbos. It should be something like everybody was in awe and wonder. They were running around. Everybody was tumulting. That put into motion for all of Jewish history the idea that Shabbos was going to be something. And that Moshe was willing to, so to speak, sacrifice his own punishment in order to provide that experience to the Jewish people. What we last said last week before we finished was a comment from Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Yeshiva Har Bracha, who mentioned, so what's the big bracha of the Mun falling? When you think about bracha, normally you think about addition, you think about extra. Somehow that Shabbos should be blessed, it should get more. But at the end of the day, it's the same as every other day. It just, instead of falling on Shabbos, it fell on Friday. Like, why is it such a big bracha that if there's no additional amount? So he described, as what we concluded with last week, the idea, Mun and Shabbos are tied in together. Mun is the training ground for 40 years that Hashem is going to provide for us. Hashem is going to give us everything that we need. Every night you went to sleep with an empty pantry in the desert. Every night you had nothing. And you had to sleep, go to sleep with the emunah that Hashem is going to take care of you tomorrow. Except one night, Friday night, your pantry was full. That ability changes the way you eat Friday night. It changes the way you go to sleep. It changes the way you wake up. The ability to remove daga, to remove worry, to remove the element of I have to live with the moon. It's not easy to live with the moon. We know that. I don't have to on Friday night. I'm living in a world in which Hashem has already provided for me. That's a blessing. That's a bracha of Shabbos to be able to sit down Friday night and know that you already have everything that you need. With that, let's learn. If you have the sheets from last week, we're source number 23. If you don't worry about it. It's not on today's sheet. One last source, the Shabbos Malkus of Shimshon Pinkus, who we've quoted a couple of times, describes the following idea. There are two terms that come up all the time when we talk about living with emunah. The word emunah and the word bitachon. And there's a lot of discussion, like what's the difference between emunah and bitachon? Emunah is often translated as faith, belief, and bitachon is similarly translated often. What's the difference between them? So he describes that we can have an entire shiur just on the different approaches and philosophical approaches between emunah and bitachon. He describes as follows: Habitachon hi halama'asa shel emunah. Bitachon is the living the lamaisa of emunah. Emunah is the theory. Emunah is I believe. Bitachon is okay. Now you believe. How do you live your life? You can have emunah and not live a life of bitachon because I have emunah. But when it comes down to it, I did certain things that don't actually demonstrate it. Bitachon is when I live in practice based on the emunah that I have. As he describes, a person is a ma'amin, shakadosh baruch hu sholeit al kol ha-metzias. A person believes Hashem rules over everything in existence and everything that he does is for the good. A person who has emunah with such clarity that he lives mipnei kach oseh ma'aseh, he therefore makes decisions in life based on that emunah, is called living with bitachon. How does that fit into everything that we're talking about? So the Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes as follows. What is Shabbos? So Shabbos is a training ground in emunah. Vayichulu, vayichal, as we spoke about in the earlier weeks, on the beginning of Shabbos Bereishis, how Hashem ceased creating, and everything is His, because it's an edus al hachidush, it's a testimony to the creation of all of word, or all of the world. So he asks in the second paragraph, for those of you who have it in front of you again, Mahi tzuras halamaisa shayom ha-Shabbos. So what's the lamais of Yom HaShabbos? We have very few mitzvahs to do on Shabbos.
Which number are you on?
I'm reading 23 from last week, if you have last week's in front of you. So what's the tzur of a lamaisa? That is bitachon. What we do on Shabbos, what we're doing on Shabbos, is creating a life of bitachon. B'Shabbos, we are shoves from every malacha, and we take our parnas and we put it in Hashem's hand, and we say, imagine you don't have to imagine you're a farmer, because it applies in today's day and age as well. A farmer doesn't go out and water his fields. He sees they need to be watered. It's a hot day. And he says, I'm not doing anything. It's in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person has his business, and he sees, nothing. Today nothing shuts down. 7 days a week. Things are moving, flying. I'm not available. You're living. Shabbos forces, we don't always appreciate what we're doing because we grow up with it, but it's important to take a step back and say, it's not just a theory of emuna. Shabbos is in practice, I'm living bitachon, in which I leave alone my parnasa. Sheyodea shu hakol b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is in Hashem's hand, and I'm willing to step back. So when a person does that, when a person lives with that emes, with that truth, with that emuna and in lemaisin of bitachon, I just want to read one line though, because not all of you have it in front of it. When a person lives with the omeka emes, the depth of the truth, she'ein shum nafkamina ben ho'olam hazel li'olam haba, there's no difference between this world and the next world, because in this world, ein olam milvado, ein on milvado, he sees in this world how everything is in the hands of Hashem, kimo be'olam haba, Im came nimtza. Turns out, Shabbat etzem kan kfar hu olam haba. The Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Finishing up our discussion of the man. When the man would fall, so a Jew for one night says, I have everything that I need. The Ribbono Shel Olam is taking care of me, and I need nothing else. I have it all. When in practice we live through Shabbos and we step back from everything that we do that we need for our own parnas, and we say, it's all in Hashem's hands. It's all in Hashem's hands. You're living today in a me'ein olam haba, which a Jew says, it's like I'm already living in olam haba while I'm living in olam hazeh, because I put everything aside and I say it's in Hashem's hand. During the 6 days of the week, when we're working, which we're about to get to now in today's shiur, we'll focus on that. So that's complicated. When you're working the 6 days of the week, who's in charge? Who's the one making the money? Who's the one responsible? Well, I am, because My employers look to me to make decisions, and I have to make decisions, and I got to go to work, and I got to plow the field, and I got to harvest. So it's a difficult task to do all that and to see it's really in Hashem's hand. But what happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos, when you say, I can't work today, I can't do anything, I won't go out to the field, I won't do anything, I'm living with the bitachon of, this is Hashem's world. So the one day a week in which we create a world in which we're living in this world, like we're living in the next world with that clarity, the me'ein olam haba, all comes from that Shabbos, and that all is the experience of the man. Okay, let's just summarize where we're up to right now. Again, if you're a Jew living in the Midbar, so Shabbos, gracious, we have this Messiah, Hashem created the world. Our first experience of, what do you take out of? What did the Torah highlight? What points of Shabbos are in the story of the man? Or almost saying, what's missing about the story of the Shabbos and the Malach? What would you, if your child said to you, and you're a Jew in the desert, and said, what's this thing called Shabbos? What are the points that you know about that you would explain to them? What do we and don't we know?
We're not working.
Al yetzei ish mim kamo. You can't leave your house. You can't go out to collect man. Was there a prohibition of doing malacha described in anything that we read? If you remember the parsha yesterday of the man, is there a concept of there's a malacha? No. There was no concept of malacha. Was there a concept of an os, a sign between the Jewish people and Hashem? No. Was there a concept of a prohibition of a chi of misa, that if you violate Shabbos, you're chai misa, did Moshe and the man, was there any discussion of that? No, there's none of that. So what is the experience? What do they know about Shabbos from the man? Hashem is going to take care of them. Falls twice on Friday. They have what they need on Shabbos. It's a Shabbos LaHashem. Man won't fall because of that. But we're missing, there's this experience that Shabbos is different. It's very similar to the way our children grow up with Shabbos. If you think about, if you ever had the experience, that stop and think about, how do our children learn about Shabbos? they learn from a very young age that they get a bath before Shabbos. They get put in Shabbos clothes.
No TV.
There's certain like things they can't, no screens. They sit at the table. Do they get an experience that God created the world? They're like, they're too way too young for that. They're not picking up that like your parnassas in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. No, they're not really holding by that. What is a child's experience of Shabbos?
They rest.
It's different. It's special. Where in the clothing, the food, obviously some major things that they can't do. They don't go to school. They don't go to play. Whatever they normally, at whatever ages, they're beginning to chop what Shabbos is. Way before the actual depth of what it is, a child does not first get the instructions as to the value of it so that they weigh what it is. They first get the experience, the warmth, the zmiros, sitting around the table, snuggling in bed with their parents because there's no school tomorrow, whatever, all those things, sleeping late, the play groups, the candy. They get an experience of Shabbos, and then later, you know, Sheishas, Yomim, Asasha, like we fill in those things, but it's already, they're in, so to speak. They've already, this is the routine, they got it. In the Midbar, before we get anything, what is the experience of Shabbos to a Jew in the Midbar? This double portion on Friday, everything is taken care of, I have what I need, and I don't go out and collect. It's a similar type of experience first before we get anything. Yes, through the Shabbos table, like before we talk about philosophy and about anything else, like it's just, you know, it's a great experience. Okay, leaving all that, let's begin. We have so much to do. We're not even going to come close to getting through it. But let's see as far as we can get. Let's start with our medrash for the day. We always like to start with a medrash. Source 24. At the end, we'll try to put together all the source sheets so you have everything in one little nice packet. It says the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi, Kol Hame'aneg Es HaShabbos. How would you translate that? Kol ha-me'aneg es ha-shabbos. Celebrate. Give me a better word than celebrate. Oneg. Enjoy or delight. Anyone who delights Shabbos. Delights in Shabbos. Enjoy Shabbos. And how would you say, what would be a fulfillment of that? What should you do to fulfill? We haven't even read the Gemara yet. But what would be an activity if a Jew says, I want to fulfill, I want to be a me'aneg es ha-shabbos. What should you do? Relax, eat, sing,
sleep.
I think all that would be correct. The word oneg is, when we say the word oneg Shabbos, are you thinking a shir or are you thinking cholent? If someone invites you to an oneg Shabbos, is that cholent or is that a shir? It's not a shir. It should be, right? It should. We should delight in shir and beauty. You're all here on an ugly day outside. But when Rabbi Yochanan says, if you're ma'aneg es ha-shabbos, do you think he means going to shiurim? Or does he mean delighting and setting a nice table and bringing out your nicest, finest silver and most delicious foods? What does he mean, ha-ma'aneg es ha-shabbos, to delight in Shabbos? Yeah, to celebrate, right? To bring those things out. Nosnin lo nachalo b'li mitzarim. What does he receive, such a person who delights in Shabbos, an inheritance, a nachala, that has no borders, no boundaries, limitless. If you're ma'aneg Shabbos, whoo, there's like no limit. Okay. So his drush, without getting into the nitty-gritty, like in Trinity, is if you're mis'aneg al Hashem, which he's darshaning, being mis'aneg al Hashem is like being mis'aneg on Shabbos. What nachla do you receive? Who's nachla? Yaakov. Not really everybody got a nachla. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why is the pasuk focusing on Yaakov? So the Medrash says, not like Avram, because Avram got kumis halech bares liar kol rachba. There was a limit. Go here, go there. Exactly as said, here's the land that I'm going to give you. Not like Yitzchak. Kilochol zarchat enes kol haratzos ha'el. I'm going to give you these lands. But like Yaakov, who faratzta Yama, Vakedma, Vatsafona, Vanegba. To Yaakov it says, and you will burst forth to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. There's no end, there's no limit, there's no border. So if you're Ma'aneg on Shabbos, which certainly seems to have a connotation of, in a very physical, enjoy, delighting way in food and in drink and in all the fineries. What's your, you got no limits. Okay, so over the course of the Temer Yitzchak Hashem, we will hopefully come to an explanation, understanding a little bit of such a statement. Okay, this brings us to our third section. We started with Shabbos Brachos, we did the Mun, and the third is the Aseres HaDibros. Now, the Aseres HaDibros, of course, as you know, appears twice, Sefer Shmos in Source 25, and in Sefer Devarim in Source 26. We don't have time to go through a detailed description of the differences. We are going to go through both, and some of the major differences and distinctions, and then there's like a whole page of Ramban, which we're not going to get through, but I gave it to you, so if you want to look it on your own, on side two. Here we go. So now again, keeping in mind where we're up to, Shabbos Brachos focus on Vayichulu Vayichal, Ki Vayom HaShvi Melachto Vayishbos Mikom Melachto, and Vayanach Vayom HaShvi. Okay, here we go. Mun was about not falling on Friday, and Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho. Famous pasuk, we're all familiar. Remember, we're going to go through exactly what that means. What does it mean? Zachor es yom ha-shabbos l'kodesho. There are two parts of this pasuk that need to be addressed. Number one is zachor. What does it mean? Like, how do you fulfill to remember Shabbos? And I would almost ask, like, when can I fulfill that today? Or do I need to wait for Shabbos in order to fulfill zachor es yom ha-shabbos? And then l'kodesho, however it is that I remember it, it needs to be in order to sanctify it. For 6 days you will work, and you will do all of your work. What's just of note of such a pasuk? Anything about the pasuk strike you as strange?
Saying the same thing twice.
Okay. What else? Somebody said something? You're focusing on the details. Scale back. What's this pasuk telling me?
You're resting on
Shabbat. No. That's the next pasuk. What does this pasuk tell me? Okay. Like that in the context of Shabbos, what we think, what is Shabbos really about? Not working on Shabbos. But this pasuk as like a command. Sheshes yamim tavod. 6 days, you're going to go to work. Why are you here on a Wednesday morning sitting and learning? No. You're supposed to be working. 6 days you work in the Senate. Now, this time, it's an odd pasuk. Like, why do I need a pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros of Shabbos saying, for 6 days you should work? It's going to focus on, remember, what was, we learned, Vayichulu and Vayichal, what was the real truth or testimony that Hashem is the creator from the fact that He stopped? The fact that I can stop something is the proof that I started it. If I can't stop something, then who says that I'm really the source of it anyway? Because I'm not in control. So it's the stopping of creation that was the proof of the beginning of creation. So even the way that we observe it, it has to be. You work for 6 days and you do all your malacha. Pasuk Yud. V'yoyim ha-shvi'i shabbos l'Hashem Elokecha. The seventh day will be a rest day for Hashem. Lo yisa'asa kol malacha. You may not do any malacha. Na you, ato, v'incha, your children. U'vitecha, avdecha, v'amoscha, v'amtecha, v'gercha, shebesherecha. Nobody can do any work. Now, we're very familiar with this pasuk, but that's strange. When the Torah tells us, you may not wear shatnez, does the Torah say, not you, not your son, not your daughter, not your servant, not your animal, nobody can wear shatnez. Do we get that? No. When the Torah says, in almost anything, on any mitzvah, here's the mitzvah, you know, here the Torah spells out, when it comes to not doing malacha, you, your son, your daughter, your eved, your maidservant, your animals, nobody's allowed to do any malacha. Ki, why? Sheishas yamim asa Hashem ha-shamayim v'yasa'aretz. For 6 days Hashem created heaven and earth. Asayam eskola sherbam. See and everything that's in it. Vayonach bayom hashvi'i. I believe this is actually the first time we see the word vayanach in, I can't remember, in Shabbos Brachos, do we get that? In vayichulu vayishbos. I don't think we had vayanach yet. Vayanach bayom hashvi'i. Al Kain Beirach Hashem 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 Vayikadosher. That we did have in Shabbos Brachos. Therefore, Hashem both blessed and sanctified these days. Okay, so familiar basic points. I quoted a number of Rashi's here just to go through. Let's do them very quickly. First of all, Rashi points out in the word Zachor that what's coming up, as we know, in the second set of Dibros is the word Shamor Yom HaShabbos Lekodesho. So Rashi tells us B'dibur Echa Nemru, which we will speak more about in a moment. Zachor, Rashi tells us, what does it mean? How do I fulfill it? Lashon po'elu, it's an action. Kemo achol v'shaso, like eat and drink. You're required to remember Shabbos. Says Rashi, Kain pitrono, tnu lev, lizkor tamid es yom ha-Shabbos. What's the mitzvah of zachor es yom ha-Shabbos, according to Rashi? Tnu lev. What does that mean, tnu lev? How does it go? It's a tenu lev. Pay attention. Lizkor tamid as Yom HaShabbos. So can we fulfill Zachor as Yom HaShabbos right now? Yes. Are you all fulfilling the mitzvah daraisa of Zachor as Yom HaShabbos right now?
Yes.
According to Rashi, because we're paying attention, we're thinking about Shabbos. And then Rashi gives us an example. Shim nizdamein lo chefetz yofeh. If it will come to your attention, a beautiful item, an article, clothing, or food, tehe mazmino l'Shabbos. You put it aside, and you say, this is for Shabbos. So that all week long, how do you fulfill Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho? You're always thinking, oh, this is a piece of cholent. I'm going to save this cholent for Shabbos. I'm not going to eat it now. I come a piece across the potato kugel, it goes away. I find a nice outfit, I'm going to wear that on Shabbos. And so all week, I'm thinking about Shabbos, tenu lev lizkor tamid. The Ramban argues on this, Rashi. The Ramban argues, if you flip the other side of the page, the Ramban is very, very long, because I broke it down into different letters. Hey. The Ramban says, he quotes Rashi, on Zuchor Yom, Beferish Zuchor tenu lev lizkor tamid as Yom HaShabbos, and there's nothing other than. Says the Ramban in the second line, Ve'einu kalacha. There's one problem with Rashi's example. I love Rashi's idea, the Ramban says, of always thinking about Shabbos, but he gave a terrible example, says the Ramban. Because this idea of putting things away when you find them for Shabbos is actually, in context, a machlokas between Shammai and Hillel, which you probably come across at some point in your studies, which the Ramban quotes from the Gemara. Amru on the second line in letter Hey. Amru alav al Shammai azakein, kol yamav hayo ochel lekavod Shabbos. Shammai HaZaken used to always eat L'Kavod Shabbos. Ketzad. How did Shammai eat L'Kavod Shabbos all week long? Matzah Behema, if he would find a nice piece of meat. Omer, Tehezu L'Kavod Shabbos. He would set it aside. On Sunday, he found a beautiful piece of meat. He put it aside for Shabbos. L'machar. On Monday, he would find an even more beautiful piece of meat. Matzah Acheres Nohemena. Meniach Hashnia V'Ochel Zarishona. So he would say, oh, now that I have Monday's meat for Shabbos, I can eat Sunday's meat. That's Rashi's example. Always be putting things aside for Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, Aval Hillel azakein. Hillel had a different midah. Hillel lived his life differently. Kol ma'asav hayu l'shem shemayim. Everything he did was l'shem shemayim. Baruch Hashem, yom yom. And therefore, if he found a beautiful piece of meat on Monday, what did he do? He ate it. And he said, look, Hashem has provided for me on Monday. What's going to be on Shabbos, Hillel? What did he say? Hashem will provide. It's Monday. Leave me alone. I'm thanking Hashem for what I have. So how do we paskin? If you find a beautiful piece of meat, you see a wonderful chocolate Danish. Are you allowed to eat it today and say, Baruch Hashem, yom yom, I'll find another kugel, another Danish for Shabbos? Or do you set it aside and put it for Shabbos? How do we paskin? We paskin Hillel. Machlokas Hillel v'shama. We paskin Hillel. So the Ramban says, I don't like the example that Rashi gave of putting things aside. That's not what we do. We live Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Therefore, in the second paragraph in Osei, the Ramban writes, Aderech HaPshat. So therefore, how do you fulfill Zachor as Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho? She mitzvah shenizkor tamid b'chol yom es HaShabbos. V'lo shelo nishkachehu. Every day, just remember Shabbos. Every day, thinking about Shabbos. You don't have to put aside your food or your clothing. That's a Shammai midah. We don't necessarily live like that. We live Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. But you have to think every day. You're thinking about Shabbos, says the Ramban, so that you should not ever forget it. V'lo yischalef lanu b'shar hayomim. And it should never be confused with another day. It should never be confused with another day. Shabbos is different. Always. It should never feel like things that we do on Shabbos shouldn't feel like I do the same thing on Tuesday night. No, I don't. Things I do on Shabbos are different. Tuesday's Tuesday. Because if I remember,
thing about like when, starting from Wednesday, yeah.
Yesterday you start preparing, but you're thinking about, yes, but you're supposed to, b'chol yom, says the Ramban, zochor es yom ha-Shabbos. In other words, if I ask, when can I fulfill the mitzvah of zochor es yom, do I need to be on Shabbos thinking all day at Shabbos? Also, yes. Can I fulfill zochor es yom ha-Shabbos today, right now? Yes, thinking about Shabbos. It's the centerpiece of my week. Because the Ramban writes that I'm always thinking about Shabbos is all of creation and Emunah. One last point on this is Ozayin. The Ramban gets back to this point and he says, how do we actually fulfill this? We do it every day. You may not have paid attention to how we do this, but the Medrash says, Lo tehe mona kederech sha'acherim monim. We do not count days the way others count days. In English, we count based on pagan gods, Sunday and Monday. Why are we calling today Wednesday? Because some non-Jew had some deity that has developed whatever the Latin or Roman language is. How do Jews count days? Yom Revi. Yom Revi to what? Yom Revi l'Shabbos. Every single time a Jew refers to a day and doesn't say Monday, the moon day, or Sunday, but he says Yom Rishon, he's fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa of Zachor es Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. My whole week centers around Shabbos. And so I don't refer to days by anything other than it's Yom Revi'i. Today is the fourth day to Shabbos, from Shabbos. That's my centerpiece, which when we count the Shir Shal Yom, that's what we do. But that's why a person should always be referring to days of the week based on Shabbos. And that's the fulfillment of Zachor es Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. Okay, moving along. We got a lot to do. Moving along. Back to Rashi in source 25. V'asisa kol malachtecha. So the pasuk says, 6 days you work, and you'll do all your malacha. Rashi says, a beautiful idea, kishetavo Shabbos. What do you mean, asisa kol malachtecha? You do all your work. Everything is done, 6 days, you finished everything. Because when Shabbos comes, yehei be'einecha, ki'ilu kol malachtecha asuya. All my work is finished. It's already been completed. Shalota harher acher malacha. I don't even want to think about it. I don't think about it. On Shabbos, leave me alone with my work, my emails, I'm done. It's as if all of my malacha was finished on Friday, and now I get to enjoy my Shabbos. Atov v'nchov v'techa, Rashi says, Elo aktanim. Who's the pasuk referring to? You and your son and your daughter, your little children or your grown-up children? So Rashi says, it shouldn't be your grown-up children, because your grown-up children are, they have their own pasuk. Zachar z'yom Shabbos l'kocho. The elders, or the adults, are commanded to teach Shabbos to the children. That's what the pasuk, the Gemara says. If a child wants to like extinguish a fire, you don't allow him. Because your mitzvah of Shabbos includes your children. Now this is a basic point. This is different than the regular concept of chinuch. Shabbos gets its own mitzvah, its own pasuk of you have to teach your children. Because a child who violates Shabbos is different than a child who wears shatnez. Child who wears shatnez, he's not mitzuvah, he's not required, he's not obligated. See, he didn't fulfill this, he didn't fulfill that, he fell asleep before the Seder, all the things that wanted to do. They're not obligated, they're children. But if a child violates Shabbos, this whole concept of what, we haven't really even gotten to the chilul Shabbos yet, we haven't done it, but what we're doing, it's not just, he's not obligated. What the world experiences on the day of Shabbos, as we spoke about being Mekabel Shabbos, it's like a personality. Shabbos, Hashem's presence comes, so there's a special pasuk. Your children have to be part of that. It's not like, oh, their child don't will. We do worry about it. The environment, the whole thing is part of that. Okay, Vayanach last Rashi, Vayanach Vayom Ashvi, Kavayachal, meaning Hashem doesn't actually rest. That's not a phrase that fits. Hashem can stop creating, but he can't rest. So kaviyachol eksiv ba'atzmo, it's as if Hashem rested. The lamed himenu kal v'chomer la'odom. A kal v'chomer to a person, shemalachto ba'omil v'yagia, she'einach b'Shabbos. You actually do toil, human beings. We work hard. We need the rest on Shabbos. So if Hashem v'yonach v'yom ha'shvi'i, it's like giving us a sense as to how that goes. Okay, we got to move forward because we got a lot to cover. So in the first paragraph, the first expound, we have Zachros Yom HaShabbos. We have 6 days working. It's a Shabbos to Hashem. It includes everybody, you, your children, your son, your daughter, your animals, everybody stops because Hashem created heaven and earth. And that's why we have this. Let's take a look at the second paragraph quickly in Devarim. Here we get the phrase, Shamor es Yom HaShabbos l'kodesho. And what is Shamor? How would you translate shamor? To observe, watch, safeguard. We'll get to the differences, of course, in a moment, of which I'm sure you are familiar. Kasher tzivcha Hashem elokecha. Sheisha simim tavor v'asizikom lachtecha. That pasuk is the same. Yoyim hashvi'i shabbas Hashem elokecha. The same. Lo sasa kol malacha. Atol v'nchol v'itecha. Av v'chol v'yamasecha. V'shorcha v'chamorcha v'chol b'antecha. Gerach shabasharecha. Little differences in the way the pasuk is described, but basically the same. Rabbi David Foreman would describe this as you have like big questions, capital B, and questions like without a big. Like there's some differences that are like nuanced. Like this one said chamor, this one didn't say chamor. And then they're like the big ones are, there are two big differences that have to be. One is zachor and shamor, like it's like a total change. The other ones are small little differences. And then in Tezvav is the second big difference. V'zacharta ki ever ha'isa be'eretz Mitzrayim. You must remember that you were a servant in Mitzrayim. Hashem took you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And therefore Hashem commanded you on Shabbos. What's the problem with that pasuk? What's the pasuk of pasuk Tezva? What's the problem with this? It's not true. It's flat out not true. Translate the pasuk.
Because of
correct. The pasuk reads, remember that you were a servant in Mitzrayim and Hashem took you out. Al Kain. And therefore, he commanded you to keep Shabbos. That's not what we've seen until now. We've been learning Shabbos for a long time already. Why do we have the commandment to keep Shabbos? Hashem created the world in heaven. That's what it said in the first set of Aseret HaDibros. So this obviously requires a lot of time. Hopefully we'll get to it, but I want to focus on something else first. But we'll have to work on it. If you are introduced, you should know. So right underneath that, you'll see the Eved Ezra and the Ramban. They all address this this pasuk, which I hope we will, Mirtz Hashem, get to. Okay, let's make sure we do get to the part that we have to get to, which is the Zachar and Shomer. So Rashi already told us that they are Bedibur Echad. So before we even get into that, what does it mean to say that something is Bedibur Echad? What is it? What does that say to us as a reader of Chazal? And Chazal, this was said, Bedibur Echad.
They're equivalent.
Equivalent.
In one breath.
That's what it literally means, in one breath. I mean, what's the significance of saying that something was said in one breath? Equally important, right? So which means that I clearly have two things and that are equally important, that it couldn't be, meaning if it would not have been Bedibur Echad, what was the other option? One would have to have come first, right? If it's not Bedibur Echad, then by definition, I would have to have taught you something first, and that would have given you the impression of, oh, Shabbos requires this, and you think you would understand, and then I tell you, oh, there's more, by the way. You also need to know this. They would say, oh, okay, I need to know this and this. But if I tell you that something is Bedibur Echad, then I'm telling you, I can't teach you about Shabbos without getting them both at the same time. I have a problem that you can't understand two things at the same time, but I need you to know that even though I'm going to say it to you at the same time, because I have no way of saying it to you otherwise. I can't teach you one thing and you think even for a moment that that's all that you need without you knowing that there are two things, and then, okay, I'll teach you one at a time, but you have to know that they come together. So one of the two things of Zachor and Shamor, so the Ramban tells us, it's well known, and I'm sure whether or not you heard it from the Ramban, but it's very well known, both from the Gemara and from the Ramban. What was that?
First.
You mean because of the list on the thing? I'm not bound by the list, by the order. I create, this is right, I created the list, and therefore I have the right to go out of order. See, if you don't create it, you have to go in order. But that's Shabbos. That's Mamish Shabbos. Hashem says I can do whatever I want. Okay, that's it. That's all we need to know. Now we know Shabbos. Okay, where did I want? I wanted to get to the Ramban. Where am I? I'm lost. Okay, on page 8, the second Shabbos. There's all these Rambans. We're going to two Rambans here. The first one is El Os Beis on the top of Os Beis. So Ramban quotes from the Chazal, the Rabbi Seinu Amr, the end of the first line, that Zachor v'Shomer is Bedibur Echa Nemru, v'lo hikpidu b'lishonos acherim shenischalfu lahem. There were many words that were different between the first Aseret HaDibros and the second. We ran through it very quickly. Zachor and Shomer is not the only difference. So why did they pick up on that to say it's Bedibur Echad? Hakavanola, and the reason what Chazal picked up on was, ki Zachor mitzvahs aseh. What Zachor, to remember Shabbos, refers to all of the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. Tziva sheniskor yom haShabbos haKadosh avolav nishkachei. We're commanded to remember it, never to forget it. By the way, I didn't mention, we mentioned Zachor, the Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says it's putting away food for Shabbos. The Ramban says it's just simply remembering it always. On Shabbos itself, the Gemara derives from the word Zachor, is likadosho, to make Kiddush. One of the mitzvahs of Zachor, to remember, to sanctify, is making Kiddush on Friday night, is a fulfillment of this mitzvah of Zachor, as Yom HaShabbos, likadosho, to sanctify. So that's Zachor is a mitzvah saseh. Vishamor, third line of the Ramban Oz Beis, is mitzvahs loisaseh, all the prohibitions of Shabbos. Yazir shenishmur oso likadosho, shelo nechalaleu. You have to guard it in its sanctity, not to defile it, in defiling Shabbos. That's such a contrast. It's one thing, this Saras Adivis, you just said you're animals. And that one you said you're chamor and you're shor. Okay, not such a big difference. To switch from a mitzvah saseh to a mitzvah lo saseh, that's such a huge difference. It can't be that Moshe would switch that. So if it can't be that he would switch it, it must be that really it was said together, but you can only write one thing, and therefore one of them have the written word Zachor, the other one has the written one Shamor, but they were really said all together. On this theme, the Ramban is a very famous piece, Os Dalet, which we need to read together. Says the Ramban, Emes gam ken ki midos Zachor romizol b'mitzvah sasei. The mitzvah of Zachor is the mitzvah sasei. V'hu shi hayotze mimidos ahavo. Here the Ramban again, you may have come across this many times in previous studies, but this is the source of this idea, that mitzvahs asei and mitzvahs lo asei come from totally different traits, midos, characteristics, experiences, almost emotions. A mitzvahs asei comes from the mitzvah of ahava, mitzvah of love. Think about a relationship, husband-wife, friends, there's a dynamic. So there's certain things that we do and certain things that we don't. I'll just use a marriage as an example. The total stereotypical, I'm just making things up. This is not related to me or any of you in any way, shape, or form. So there are two different things that a husband may do around the house. He might know, I need to buy flowers. I need to buy flowers. I like buying flowers. My wife loves flowers. So when I go out and I do things, it's a expression of I want to do things that my spouse likes. So I go out and I buy flowers because I know that my wife likes that. I know that she likes to go out to eat, so I like to take her out to eat or other things like that. Mitzvahs asei, when you pick yourself up and do things, is an expression of ahava. If when you have a los asei, when there's a command, don't do certain things, like don't leave your socks on the floor. So a husband who observes that, that's not ahava. That's yira. Exactly. That's exactly right. It's not an expression of love. It's an expression of, I don't want to get in trouble. And I know that I got a prohibition. There's a prohibition. Don't do this thing. So I avoid doing that. Now, again, this is not a perfect example because in a marriage, one can say, I buy flowers out of fear not to get in trouble of coming home without flowers. And you can say, I love my wife, so I do what she wants, even though I don't understand of leaving my wife. But really, in effect, like, taking the example out of it, when I'm giving a command, don't do this, I don't like it when you do this, and I observe it, is mostly because I don't want to get in trouble of violating. A person doesn't, I don't want to. When you actively get up and do something, it's an expression of love. So the Ramban finds this in the distinction between the mitzvahs asei that we have, 248 mitzvahs asei, and 365 mitzvahs los asei. When a Jew observes a los asei, he's coming from the Ramban says, or let me just go back to the first line. The mitzvah asei is the mitzvah of ahava and rachamim. First line in Os Dalet. Ki ha'osa mitzvahs adonav ohev lo. A person who fulfills the mitzvah of his master will love him and will have rachamim. However, the mid of shamor is the mitzvah of lo sase, hu lemidas hadin. Veyotze mimidas hayira comes from a place of fear. Ki hanishamer mima'asos hadavar. Me'asos devar hara b'nei Adonav, person who careful about not doing something which is evil or bad in the eyes of his master, yoreo, so he fears him. Which one is a greater expression of a relationship? Doing something that you initiate an act of love, or refraining from doing something because you're afraid?
Love.
No question, right? A lower level dynamic is, I just know that, I know, it's do this to stay out of trouble. Okay? That you're just staying par, so to speak. I don't want to get in trouble, so if I avoid the things that will get me in trouble, like, things are okay. But to actively do something is an expression of a much greater dynamic of a relationship. Therefore, the Ramban says in Halacha, if you have a two mitzvahs that clash, two actions in front of you, and the one is an asay and one is a los asay, and we try to figure out which one do you do. If I the two things in front of me will either be a fulfillment of a positive mitzvah, but if I do it will be a violation of a negative, a prohibition. Do I do it or do I not do it? This is not a perfect example, but it's just one that comes to mind. If a child were to have tzara'as in the makom hamila where we do a bris mila, you're not allowed to cut out tzara'as. But I have a mitzvah to do a bris mila. So it's day 8. If I do a bris mila, I fulfill the mitzvah of mila. But if I do the bris mila, I'm going to be violating the lo taseh of cutting tzara'as. So which one takes precedence? The lo taseh tells me don't do the bris mila because you're going to violate the prohibition, or the mitzvah taseh of doing the bris mila. So when you have which one takes precedence in halacha? Asay, dochelos asay. Why does the mitzvah asay take precedence over keeping a lot asay? So Ramban says, because an asay is love, is ava. A lot asay is fear. It's a lower level of a relationship. And the higher level of the relationship takes precedence over the lower level.
So why would they
set
together then?
So they're set together. Excellent question. They're set together. That's what we need to get to. Give me. We're gonna get to that. This is why, by the way, punishment in the Torah is generally given on an asay or a lo taseh. Only a lo taseh. If a person doesn't fulfill an asay, there's generally no punishment. There's some discussions about it on a derabbanan level, and of course, mila and korban pesach are the two exceptions to that for other reasons, which is a pesach discussion. Even though we're getting close, but not for now. But generally, punishments are given if you violated a lo taseh. There's a punishment for going, but just because you didn't take the step of fulfilling the asay, generally you don't get a punishment for that. Okay, bring us to the question. So what do we have on Shabbos? Says the Ramban. So you have zochor v'shomer v'dibur echad. They reflect two different things. An asay is technically greater, but why were they set together? Even though an asay reflects a greater dynamic, when it comes to Shabbos, you cannot have one without the other. There are two sides of a coin which cannot go. Now, that's on two levels. It's on a practical level and it's on a deeper hashkafic level. On a practical level, let's say a person would fulfill Shabbos with all of the mitzvah saseh, for example. They would change their... They would shower before Shabbos. They would sit down to a beautiful meal. They would make kiddush. And they'd be watching TV the whole time. So they did all the asays, but they didn't fulfill any of the observing the lo taseh. Is that Shabbos? Obviously not.
You could have your timer on the television.
I'm not talking about the technicalities of that. Let's say on the other side, let's say a person were to sleep the entire 24 hours of Shabbos. Some of you might actually know teenagers who've done this before. Say they did not violate a single lo taseh of Shabbos. They literally sat on the couch and did nothing. They didn't move. They didn't violate anything. They fulfilled all the lo taseh, all the shamors. Is that Shabbos? So on a practical level, you can technically do a zachor on your own. You can change into nice clothing and you can shower before and you can sit down to beautiful meals. But if you don't have the lo taseh, you didn't actually make it into a Shabbos. And you can sit on a couch and do nothing and read a book for 24 hours straight. You observe the shamors, but you also didn't have, you know, so the two go together. It has to be a purposeful shamor with a purposeful zachor. But let's just take this one pillole one more level. It expresses really something a little bit deeper. It expresses something a little bit deeper. These two midas of ahava and yira, of doing things out of love and doing things out of fear, reflect a Jew's existence in life always. We are always balancing these two traits. We have mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh, because in part of our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, there needs to be a healthy measure of ahava, and there needs to be a healthy measure of yira. They both go together. Picture any child, as we raise our children, is just a classic example of, if we were to, let's say we were to treat and train our children to have yira shamayim, and that's all we focus on. Just imagine the exercise for a minute of, don't do this because Hashem is going to strike you down. Don't do this because it's going to make Hashem angry. Don't do this because it's wrong. And it's a healthy level, meaning it's true. It's a true level of yira that you need to be in the presence of Hashem. Do you realize that He's always watching you? Ayin shomas, there's an eye in roeh, and an ozen shomas, and an ear that hears, and chomasecha b'sefer nechtavin, and everything you do is written down, and everything we say is true. And we would literally pound home this idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is paying attention, and that there's schar and onesh at stake, and that there's an upon it. What would we create?
A monster.
We would create a person for sure with neurosis, who'd be afraid, who would be nervous about everything, and would we, in a simple level, would we predict such a child that's not in the presence of their parents would keep doing what they're being told by their parents to do? Highly unlikely. Would that child teach their children to keep that up? Highly unlikely. Go to the other extreme. Let's say you're full of love, and this is amazing, and Shabbos is beautiful, and Schar Olam Hava, and you give him all the beautiful things, and you filled him with why it's so nice and why it's so great and why it's all those beautiful things and all the reasons. What's the problem if we teach a child and all we give them are levels of ahava and beauty and why it's amazing? There's no limit in the sense of what happens when, I'll give a simple example. What happens when the child is 15 and there's a basketball game that he finds more important? Or the child is 23 and has an interview that they believe is more important. If all you've given me is love and benefits and things that I'll gain and reasons why it's all beautiful, it might be great, but at a certain point, I might discover that there are things that I want to do more. Or it's true, but this Shabbos, no, I can't. I have something else that I need to be at. So on a certain level, and this is a very oversimplification, but it's a very true and deep point, there needs to always be a balance between ahava and yira. In a person's level of ahava Hashem, I'm doing this because I love the Ribbono Shel Olam, I love Shabbos, I love cleaning for Pesach, I love all of these mitzvos, and the sense of yira shamayim of there's an eye that's watching and an ear that hears and kol masecha b'sefer nechtavim and eternity is at stake because I need both. I need both. I need to know that what I'm doing is because I love the Ribbono Shel Olam and He loves me and this is the most beautiful life here and forever and I need to know, I need to have yira shamayim. And if that's ever out of kilter, now, I should tell you this, it is often out of kilter, meaning there are people, we all know people in our own families and ourselves, who are not perfectly aligned 50-50. There are people who have more of a chesed, ahava, nature. And we know these people, they're like that. And we have people who are more din, yira, they're much more exacting on certain things. And it's not a right or a wrong. There are different approaches as to which one on the scale are they more aligned with. And as long as you're like not too close or married to somebody that you're different than, it's like usually fine. But we often, the emotion, the sense of humor often puts that together where you have one person who's much more into the ahava and the chesed aspect of Yiddishkeit and others who are much more careful about the din and about the Yir Shamayim aspect. And there are mitzvos that focus us more on ahava, and those that focus us more on yira. Mitzvah saseh, clearly much more on ahava, mitzvah lo saseh. And so we're always, always in this balance in our lives between the two, and we sometimes focus more on one than the other. People focus on more than the other. People's personalities are more din versus more chesed, and it all ties in. But as a whole, hopefully we're like dealing with both. We have elements of, this is why, by the way, all of our characteristics are called midos. What does a midah actually mean?
Measurement.
It's a very strange word for good characteristics. Right? If we would ever translate into English, we would say, oh my goodness, this young lady, she has the best measurements. What? That's a shidduch resume? But that's what we say all the time. She has the best midos. Can you imagine that's what we say? Because we use actual characteristic traits, we translate them as midos. It's not a measurement. Why do we call characteristic traits measurements? It's a funny thing. Because we're always balancing chesed versus gvura. When is it right to do this? And when is it right to do that? And what's the right balance of measuring all the different things that we do in between? We're finishing up. So in our lives, and in the way we fulfill mitzvos, we're sometimes doing like this and sometimes doing like that. Yerushalmi phrases this as "Asei mi ahava." You always need to fulfill a mitzvah mi ahava, and "Asei mi yira." And you also need to do it out of yira. "Asei mi yira." Why do you have to have yira? She embas livaot dosha atoyer. Because sometimes, if you're only out of ahava, if there's only love, sometimes you've seen this in a relationship. You swallow the other person up. A person has so much love for someone else, and they're always either doing for them, or taking care of, or waiting on them hand and foot. It's as if they've swallowed. The yira is the boundary that says, Ad kan, you can't go any closer. But a person that only has yira in their dynamic, there's no relationship, there's no love. So you have to have, if you only do from yira, from ahava, and you would come to literally to swallow up the other person, yira puts a boundary. And if you only do from love, is to prevent you from coming to hate. Meaning, if everything is yira and rules and boundaries and you can't and regulations, you come to hate it. So you have to have a measure of the ahava together. And what do we find in Shabbos? What do you find in Shabbos? Bedibur echad, zochor v'shamor. Bedibur echad. So as Rav says, zochor are the assays, and the law says usually when we're engaged in a mitzvah, we're choosing one or the other. Right now, I'm engaged in this mitzvah; it's a mitzvah of ahavas Hashem. This mitzvah that I'm taking care of is a mitzvah of yiras Hashem. What's the example when I have a mitzvah in which simultaneously I have both experiences? It's the zochor v'shamor b'dibur echad coming together on Shabbos. This manifests itself. What does the Gemara say? What do we start with? What's the reward for somebody who's a ma'aneg al HaShabbos? The Gemara uses a very strict, call a ma'aneg es HaShabbos, which we said meant to like delight. So we're going to run through this very quickly in 2 minutes. Do you remember what Rashi said on the Neshama Yisera? What's the Neshama Yisera? Do you remember what Rashi said? We learned this a week or two ago. You have an extra neshama. What does my extra neshama allow me to do? It allowed me, Rashi said, to eat and to drink on Shabbos. And normally, my neshama is disgusted by that. Like, anyway, eating, you have to eat again. Leave it alone. You should be involved in other pursuits. So on Shabbos, you can get away with that. Shabbos, you could have cholent and kugel, and it's geschmack. I can't tell you that it doesn't have calories, but I can tell you that your neshama doesn't care. Your neshama is happy to enjoy. All week long, we are in a battle between guf and neshama. We're in this tension between whether we're focused on our neshama part or our guf part. And they're always constantly in battle. That's how we live our lives as human beings. We're a combination of guf and neshama. On Shabbos, which this needed much more time on that, but we'll just leave it at that. On Shabbos, that tension that a Jew, a thinking Jew, feels all week long, of am I focused on my guf or am I neshama, the things that I want to do for myself, my neshama wants more. On Shabbos is the one day where you're at ease. You're at peace. There's no tension. A Shabbos afternoon nap is a Shabbos. There's like, I'm allowed to take care of my guf. I'm allowed to have cholent. I'm allowed to have that extra piece of cake. And I'm allowed to enjoy it. And my neshama enjoys it. It's a nachala b'li mitzarim. There's no boundary on Shabbos because of the way that things all come together. The ahava and the yira, the guf and the neshama are as one, specifically on Shabbos, in a way that the tension usually that exists does not. Because of the confluence, ava yira together, and the ma'aning ala Shabbos is therefore able to to experience that. Okay, we're out of time. Well, Mirza should pick up and just try to tie that together a little bit more next week. We still need to finish. We didn't fully get through the two parashas of the Seres HaDibros, but we got to do the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the last major section in which we have discussions of Shabbos. We only have 1 week left, so we're going to touch on that and tie this all together as best we can. And Zachar, as Yom HaShabbos, we fulfilled it many times, Mirza Hashem, today and in future weeks.